All right, guys, welcome back to our third podcast. You're with Vadim and Alex. And we would, again, appreciate if you guys would subscribe and like our podcast. It would really mean a lot to us. Also, we are sponsored by QuickiePrint.com again, where you can have all your printing needs met. Vadim, what's our first topic?
Our first topic of the day is marijuana. Guys, let me read you the top 10 facts about marijuana so you get an idea of the nonsense that's going on. So the first fact is no one has ever overdosed or died from smoking too much weed. The second fact is marijuana has been in an official state of prohibition since 1937. The third fact, Colorado and Washington recently legalized cannabis for recreational use this past October. They have estimated a tax revenue of $550 million. Wow, that's a huge amount. The fourth fact, there are more medical marijuana dispensaries than Starbucks in Los Angeles and Denver combined. The fifth fact is 26 states are pending marijuana legalization. The sixth fact is over the last decade, the NYPD has spent 1 million hours making 440,000 marijuana arrests. That's a lot of arrests. The seventh fact is the first law in America relating to cannabis was in 1619, and the law was actually required for farmers to grow hemp plant. The eighth fact is in 1906, cannabis was legalized as a poison, and states began restricting its sale. That sounds really ridiculous. Next, ninth fact is in the mid-1930s, cannabis was regulated as a drug in every state. And the tenth and the last fact is from 1850 to 1942, marijuana was listed in the United States Pharmacopoeia as a useful medicine for nausea, labor pains, and could be purchased from pharmacies and general stores. So, Alex, what do you think about marijuana being legalized in Colorado and Washington? Do you think that other states should do the same?
I think that more and more states will follow. I'm still surprised, but not really, that the federal government hasn't stepped in and either made a decision one way or another, because it is still illegal federally, but yet states are being allowed to make decisions. I think that more and more states will make it legal, and I think it's the right thing to do, because the facts are in, and if you drink or smoke not weed, but you smoke cigarettes, those two things are worse than smoking marijuana. That's a fact. That's not in any way a debate there. Though those things are worse, yet those things are legal, and marijuana is considered on the same level as coke, which is ridiculous. It has never killed anyone. That's the thing. It's a ridiculous notion that we still have it illegal, and it's weird that it's taking even so long for this thing to even pass. So that's where I stand with it.
Oh man, that's so crazy that a plant is illegal, you know what I mean, to grow, because you know it has so many properties for medicinal purposes. You can't even grow the plant. And, you know, we know what hemp can do, and it's just, wow, it's just so, so ridiculous to me. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, drugs in general should be legal. You know, the drug war has been so unsuccessful. All we've done was, you know, put more and more people in jail, and, you know, that does not necessarily help society. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, these guys are criminals and you know they're hurting people. You know, smoking marijuana hasn't hurt anyone that I know of. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And the people that complain and say, oh, well, it makes you lazy. To be honest with you, those people were lazy before marijuana got there. Marijuana does not make you lazy. It makes people who don't want to do anything, makes it easier for them not to do anything. Gives them something to do, basically. But there are people who are not lazy, who smoke marijuana, who have, you know, normal lives, who do a lot of things every single day, and they just chill out at home later on and just smoke something. The idea that you should be treated like a criminal for doing something that does not hurt anyone else is ridiculous. And the fact that, well, first of all, I don't want to make it sound like marijuana is completely the greatest thing and it's just like drinking water. It's not. I mean, it's not the worst thing, but it's also not the best thing. It's a fine recreational thing if you want to do as an adult. There should not be a fine, there should not be jail time for doing something like this. And if you could only imagine how many jails we would free up if marijuana would actually federally become legalized. We'd literally probably take about, what, 40%, 50% of all jailed people. How crazy is that? That would help the country. That would help the people. It's a ridiculous thing. Plus, think about how much crime is committed because somebody is working a block that they shouldn't be. They're selling it in this area when that's not the area. And they have gunfights and they kill people and they steal. And it's these things that cause problems, yet we act like, well, you know, that's fine. They're bad guys. You know, they're selling weed. Weed? Really? That's the biggest problem in our country is weed? I just don't see it.
Well, it's a political matter, and you know, these private jails are probably filled with people that, you know, have sold marijuana and were jailed for that, and you know, it's the profiteering aspect of it. I don't think it has anything to do with the properties that marijuana has. You know, it's just a big business. When you make it illegal, more and more people want to do it, and the price rises for the cost of marijuana. So you're paying more on average for marijuana as opposed to if it was legalized. You know, that would bring in more companies, and supply and demand and price lines, you know, the competition, and you know, that would lower the price of marijuana. Now, necessarily will it you know, be more healthier for you to smoke marijuana from a big corporation or, you know, your local drug dealer? Well, that's up for debate. We don't necessarily know, you know, because, you know, larger companies may put in chemicals that are a deterrent to your health. But aside from that, that will clear up a lot of the jails that we have in the United States. That will decrease crime. It will bring back fathers into the lives of their children, and pretty much put the drug dealers out of business. And that's what we should be concerned about, is putting these guys who are dealing illegally, who are not paying taxes, that are not supporting the economy, in pretty much paying taxes so that, you know, we can build roads and have better health care and so on and so on. So, you know, marijuana definitely, in my opinion, should be legal. And as far as the laziness aspect of it, I knew a guy, and Alex knew the same guy, when he was on marijuana, he was very energetic, always wanted to do things. He was never lazy. So I really don't know, you know, what Bill O'Reilly is, you know, talking about when he makes the statements that he does, that, you know, marijuana should, you know, stay, you know, illegal. And, you know, if you do the crime, you should pay, you know, with your time in regards to that. It's just, you know, it's just bullshit crap that we hear from pundits, and because they're afraid to come out and before something that majority of, you know, Christians and politicians, you know, are running on. And the, you know,
the truth is actually, if they actually, you know, came out and said the truth, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them are actually smoking weed on a regular basis. It's just they have an audience, and their audience are people who usually would go, well, no, that's not good. No, that's not good. I don't care what the evidence say. I know that that's not good. Yet they'll go and they'll drink something, maybe some kind of alcoholic drink. They'll have a cigarette afterwards. And those things, well, those things, you know, they've been around for a long time, so those things are fine. But weed is a bad thing. So, okay, so you sort of touched on this, but you said that you think that all drugs should be made legal. So what do you think in regards to that happening? How do you think our society will react to something like this?
Well, you know, our society is very prejudiced, and, you know, people mostly hear one side of the story, and they really don't do their research. But, you know, for example, in Holland, they legalized hardcore drugs, and the usage has gone down. The crime obviously has gone down. And what they've done was allow for people to come into medical offices and ask for injections. And the injections are performed by a professional, whether it's a nurse, or a doctor that performs the incision. They actually know the dosage that will not overdose the person. So in that manner, we can do the same thing here, legalize it, allow for only medical practices to inject people, and, you know, that will decrease the crime, that will decrease the cost, and will definitely make our society more friendly to kids, because, you know, kids are actually being drugged up, and, you know, that's definitely hurting our society. Because, you know, the more kids that are using drugs, the less they're involved in school, and, you know, the less, you know, we have productive people in society. So we definitely want to make sure that if you want to do drugs, that's fine. No problem. We'll make it accessible for you. You have to go to a clinic. So that kind of makes it a little harder, makes it more embarrassing. But at the same time, if you need it, then a professional, you know, practitioner like a nurse or a doctor will make the injection. So, you know, that will decrease crime. You know, that's what should be done.
I agree to some part of what you're saying. I do agree that it should be made legalized. I don't agree with the whole, you know, you have to go to a hospital or a clinic for that to happen, because I don't think that would work. I think you'll have a lot of people who just won't do that, and they'll try to find other means to get those drugs. So,
well, that's not what happened.
I don't think they have the same kind of population as we do, and I don't think it's the same kind of drug problem as we do. And the thing is that if it actually passes here, the best thing to do is really what cigarettes have done, in terms of do not give them the ability to advertise on the actual packets of whatever it is, whatever drug it is. Put things like, hey, this will harm you if you blah blah blah. Tell them exactly the dosage that you can possibly take, because most people, you could be a regular drug addict or whatever the case is, most people don't actually know what dosage you can take. And that's why you hear so many overdoses, because people just don't have the knowledge. And it's because it's an illegal drug, so no one really talks about what you can or cannot do and how much of it you can and cannot have. So because of that, if you teach people, if you actually show them, hey, this is as much as you could have, and that's it. People will, okay, now I know this. I'm not saying overdoses will never happen again, because people overdose with regular drugs right now, like over-the-counter drugs. So that will still happen, but at least majority of people will be able to know, like, if they do want to try it, then this is something that they will be able to do. And I just think that it can be done and it should be done because we haven't done anything to be able to stop this drug war. I mean, the idea of it is just ridiculous. The only thing we've done is make it this thing that kids want. It's the cool thing to do. And if you remove that factor, and if you make it legal, and if you make it something that is over, is basically like 18 and over, 21 and over, whatever they want to do. If you make it like that, I think you will have people that will be able to do drugs, know exactly what they can have, and at the same time, not everyone will. That's the thing. The numbers, in my opinion, won't really change too much, except they won't be going to jail for it. There won't be these things to find somebody who has a joint. You know, it's like, we got him. What did you get? A person smoking some weed? You got somebody who it's a ridiculous notion that we're trying to tell people what to do, except at the same time, we're telling people it's a free country, except with these guidelines.
Well, I agree with you. You know, hurting oneself should not be illegal. I mean, who should decide what you should do with your body? I mean, should the government play a role in every aspect of our lives? Should they tell us what to eat, what to drink, what to do, where to work, how to drive, what to drive? I mean, it's becoming ridiculous. If you want to hurt yourself, go for it. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, that's your business. You know, if you want to inject yourself with cocaine, meth, or any other drug, that's up to you. The government should not have a say in what you do.
I completely agree with you. And the thing is, right now, you can easily go pretty much to any pharmacy and you could find drugs just as strong, and you can actually get them, and you could do whatever you want. You could overdose on them. You could get high with them. And the fact that we're saying, well, these ones that are making billions of dollars, well, that's fine. But these are the ones that we said that were bad. No. You shouldn't have access to those. If you want to kill yourself, hey, go. There's a lot of drugs you could get, and you could kill yourself. If you want to get high, there's a bunch of drugs you could get pretty much most places at this point. So the idea that you know, we're going to make these drugs, oh no, you can't have those, but these drugs you can have, and they do the same exact thing, well, almost the same exact thing, and just as dangerous. You can't win this war. You just can't. And that's where we are at this point. We've done this for more than a year or two. We've been doing this for a long time, this war against drugs, and we have not made a dent. If anything, it went the other way. So we have to make a decision at a certain point to go, okay, are we really going to continue this falsehood of a war, or do we just go, okay, you know what? There's a better way to do this. And that's where I think we should go.
It's crazy that the pharmaceuticals have created a so-called synthetic marijuana drug, and they're saying that it's actually different than the real thing. It's okay to use the synthetic version, which they're profiting, and it's called K2. And I'm sure there are other names for it and different types. But, you know, it's okay for them to produce marijuana and make money off of it and say, well, it's a little different, but it's really the same, you know, and, you know, it doesn't have the same effects, but it does. And it's like, you know, buy it from us because, you know, we're the pharmaceuticals and we know what's best for you. And it's like, God damn, this is so fucking stupid. And, you know, people who buy into that shit are fucking dumb. And it's just so ridiculous that we have a society of idiots. You know what I mean? One way or another, when you really think about it, you know.
Well, again, when you look at the bureaucracy of it, you see the weirdness of it all. For example, they have the same thing going on in terms of like porn. It's okay, for example, it's not okay, I should say, for you to pay a woman to have sex with her. But if you pay a woman to have sex with you and record it, well, then you have a business. You're making porn, and that becomes legal. And you have these laws which do not make sense, but yet we go by them, and no one argues them, and no one talks about, hey, this maybe should change because they're just not working. And we're just continue going on with this falsehood of supposedly things that are protecting our society. And in truth, it's basically if you have enough money, you could get things done. You could push forth. I mean, the reason why it's even right now illegal to smoke weed, to use hemp, is because back in the day, this was a political move that was made to get this done. So if you think that politicians or whoever you think are doing this for the benefit of society, they're not. They're doing it for the benefit of themselves. They're doing it for the benefit of their party's point of view. Whatever party it is, they're looking at it from a point of view of how would this hurt us or how would this help us. And if it doesn't help them, they're not going to get it done. And that's where we are in terms of marijuana.
Remember we watched the Joe Rogan podcast maybe 2 days ago, and we saw Steve-O, and he was talking about how he was caught with cocaine in his possession, and he was drugged up out of his mind, and you know, he was jailed, but he was released maybe what, after a day or something like that. If you have a Joe Schmo who has that much on him, guess what, he's going to prison for 10 or more years. I mean, it's a double standard, you know, all the way around. You know, if you're a politician caught with coke, you're not doing any time. If you're a celebrity caught with coke, maybe you're doing some community service. But if it's someone who doesn't have any money and is caught with a legal drug, then they're going away for a decade or more. I mean, how ridiculous is that? What type of fucked up society are we living in when, you know, if it's someone who is influential in any manner or has money, well, guess what? They're not doing the time if they're doing the crime. So, I mean, it's so ridiculous. We have to stop this. We have to repeal this, we have to legalize it, and we have to move on and actually tackle the issues that are, you know, actually destroying our society. But before we move on to our next topic, I want to ask Alex, I know he smoked a little weed himself, so I just wanted to ask him, you know, how he felt about it, and how, I guess, it changed him, you know, during the high.
Well, I don't know if it changed me or anything like that. It was something that, I mean, so many people smoke weed. It's not even funny. But I smoked it for a little while. It wasn't anything that changed me in any way. It was something that definitely relaxed me. It definitely something that was made things a little more interesting. When I was high, it wasn't that I felt like I needed to be lazy or I just wanted to not do anything. It was more that, you know, like I had an hour or two where it was just relaxing, and at no point was it something that I'm like, oh, I need to do right away. It was something that, you know, I thought was enjoyable. It was something that if I'm around other people that are smoking, I probably would still do it again. But it's not something that I also go to on a regular basis. It's not something that I go out of my way to get or to do. So that's basically where I stand with it.
Well, I had a time where Alex and I and two other friends, we were eating cookies, and this was my first experience eating a cookie. So I took one in, and it was so good. It was pretty small, but I was like, oh, maybe I should have another one. Can I have another one? And I'm like thinking about it, and the guys are telling me, yeah, I don't think it's such a good idea, because even one cookie is gonna give you a high that's gonna last you for hours. I was like, that's bullshit. I didn't believe it. So it took us probably like 20 minutes to get to the restaurant, and I'm not feeling anything. I'm feeling normal, and once we sit down and we're talking, everything is fine. And then boom, all of a sudden it hits us one by one, and everyone has a different reaction. My reaction is like total focus, and I could talk about anything and remember almost anything. And do you remember, Alex, what you felt at that time?
For me, it was the complete lack of focus. I could not focus on anything. It was just edibles and smoking weed are completely different things. And for me, it did not have an effect that I was like, oh, this is great. It wasn't something that you know, made me scared or anything, but it was something that an edible, and again, it was too much. We really should have had like little bit of just a really, really small dosage. And this is, again, this is going back to the original point. If it's actually made legal, then they could put and say, this is how much you could have. If you have this kind of dosage, then this is fine. But when you have this much, it might be too much for you. And there was nothing. It was just like a small little cookie. There was nothing written on it. It was just, here you go. And I have to admit that I'm not a fan of edibles at all. So if you take anything away from this, edibles and smoking weed are not the same thing.
Definitely not the same thing. But, you know, since we only had an experience one time, we don't know, you know, if we would get used to it, how it would be, you know, going forward. But getting back to the story, I thought that, you know, once I would get out of the restaurant, that, you know, the high would continue. And all of a sudden I felt like, oh, you know, I'm not as high as I used to be. And but then later on it came back. And the funny thing is, once I came home, I went into the restroom and I was trying to pee. I was literally standing there for probably like an hour and a half trying to pee, but I couldn't. And I was like in this utter focus, and it was just so ridiculous. By the time I peed, it was probably like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was so ridiculous. What I'm trying to get at is, like, it has a different effect on different people. And, you know, each person has told me a different story. So in conclusion, drugs and marijuana should definitely be legal. I don't see a reason as to why not. The crime will decrease, the price will decrease, the usage will decrease, and, you know, we'll be living in a better place. What do you think, Alex?
I think that if you want to be very focused and maybe you don't want to pee all the time, then edibles might be for you. That's basically what Vadik is trying to make a point. Right, exactly. So again, if you're going to go with edibles, have the smallest amount you possibly can, because it really is strong. It's really strong and has different effects on people. So yeah, that's basically where we are. So our next topic is going to be a little lighter than marijuana. It's VR headsets. I'm pretty sure most people know about the Oculus Rift, which was bought by Facebook for, I think it was like $1 billion or something like that. Now you have competitors from Sony. I think theirs is called Morpheus. There's also Google Cardboard. So it seems like everybody's trying to get in onto the virtual reality type of environment. So what do you think? Do you think this is a fad, or do you think this is the start of something big?
Well, the thing is that I haven't seen any actual production and usage as of yet. I mean, I've seen one here, one there, but not any particular system. No, I definitely think that they're probably going towards something that they can bring to people's home and have them utilize it instead of maybe watching TV or playing video games in a traditional manner. I think if they can actually provide a virtual reality world that you and I and other people think of, where we can actually control our thoughts.
Well, no. We're very far away from that. This is not at all where they are at whatsoever. This is purely a visual thing where you can move your head and you could view things. There's no feel to it. It does not attach to your brain. It doesn't read your thoughts or anything like that. So something like that, we're very far away from, and literally none of the companies have even mentioned anything in the works of anything like that. I mean, right now they're literally just trying to come up with something that they could get to the public that will just be an extra visual way of viewing things or playing video games. That's basically where they are at this moment. And again, and that product is still not even out.
Can you imagine sitting down in your chair and turning on the game where you ride a roller coaster and it actually feels like the real thing? I mean, that to me would be a little scary, but, you know, at the same time, it will get you over your fear of heights and roller coasters. And the other thing is, it's much safer. It'll feel like the real thing, and, you know, you won't get stuck upside down in Magic Mountain.
Right, that's true. And the thing is, for me, The first time I heard of it, I wasn't very much excited about it because I kind of thought it was something that was similar to what they did years ago. And if you remember, you know, it was done pretty poorly back then. But I thought, well, okay, well, like video games, okay, I could see a little bit where you might want to move your head. But most video games, like the biggest games like Call of Duty, I don't know if that would be a better game with a VR headset. Because I don't know if you want to move your head constantly and move the controller at the same time, but if you're interested in like scary movies or scary games, I think the VR headset could be one of the greatest inventions for you. But until recently, I wasn't really excited about it until I had this revelation, and that was this: VR headsets are going to be revolutionary in this one aspect, and that is sports. Imagine going to a basketball game, okay? Well, no, I'm sorry, not imagine going, but putting it on and putting on the headset and sitting basically courtside at a basketball game. You look to your right, you'll see not Phil Jackson anymore, but you see the coaches, you see the players, you see basically, you have a courtside seat, a realistic courtside seat where you could look around, where you could look up, you could see everything, and it looks like you're there. That would be, for a sports fan, that would be amazing. Or imagine, like, the biggest fight that just recently happened, Pacquiao versus Mayweather. Imagine, you know, like, the first view is your ringside, and you're sitting there, and that's a nice view. But imagine with a press of a button, you are in the point of view of Mayweather, and you see Pacquiao in front of you, and he's bobbing and weaving, and he's throwing punches, and it looks like he's actually fighting you. And with another press, you're Pacquiao, and you see Mayweather, and he's weaving around, and he's moving so quickly. That would, for a sports fan, I think that would, it's a must buy. I mean, I think that pretty much, if you're any kind of sports fan, you're most likely going to buy that just for the experience of watching sports.
But so you're referring to live sports? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, live sports. Absolutely. Live sports. The only thing they have to do is set up a camera. Well, not initially a camera, but cameras that capture wide angles, and you could have, courtside, you could capture everything. So you're literally sitting there, you're looking around, and you see everything. You see basketball players running in front of you. It's like it'll look like you're there. It's not going to be like virtual where you could touch them or anything, but it's going to seem like you're there, and you can move your head around and view whatever you want. That's an experience that I would absolutely pay for.
Wouldn't it also be cool if you can actually put yourself into like Pacquiao's shoe and fight with Mayweather as the fight is going on? That would be pretty cool.
Right. No. That's absolutely true. You're thinking about video game. And video games, I could see that. But at the same time, I could see that getting somewhat boring at points, because they have to create the physics that will work with that. And that's really, really difficult. But to actually watch sports in a completely new way. Now, if you're a sports fan, it's amazing what you could possibly do with it. Have literally the best viewing angle
you can buy. Pretty much having courtside seats for the same price as everyone else. And you know that would be amazing, because it will be one price, you know, it won't be like $2,000, $3,000.
Meaning you could pay for a live game. Well, technically, if you have cable, I mean, they might just throw it in and go like, hey, we just set up a camera in there, so it's not really a big thing for us to do this, and it'll bring more fans. Imagine like people who are like, I don't know, I've never been to a game, I'm not really that excited. And everyone says, if you would just go to a live game, it'll make you a fan. And that is very true. So imagine, you know, like feeling like you're there. Imagine where if you're a hockey fan, imagine they put camera there, and then you could actually, you know, look to your right and you see players on the bench, you know, as they get out, you see them. You actually see them like getting up. You see them talking to each other. You see them, you know, it would be an experience that I think most people would be, you know, would absolutely go for. So that's where I think, as long as they go there, I haven't heard them doing that yet, but I'm just hoping that they realize that that is a huge, huge place where they can make a ton of money.
That's true. I want to take a little further than that, because you know, you got into life sports. What about life combat, like US airplanes bombing Syria, or special forces going into Iraq, you know, raiding houses? Like, can you imagine if you could be entrenched in that type of environment? That would be very, very cool. But at the same time,
I don't know about that.
It's a little messed up. You're participating in killing people.
No. Yeah, that's something that won't, that the government isn't going to do. All right, today at 3 o'clock, join us as our SEAL Team 6 is going to go into this compound. You know, watch them kill these people. It's like, I can't see that happening. But I think for video games, it's definitely going towards the video game aspect right now, and it's going towards like movies right now. I'm not exactly sure how much I'm interested in watching a movie with that, unless it's a scary movie. I just don't see like a Schwarzenegger movie where I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
Well, if you're in the movie,
it's not a video game, so you're not really there.
Well, meaning like you're in the actual environment and you're looking from a different perspective than you would normally, so you feel like you're actually there as you know everything transpires. So I don't know, that could be very interesting.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean by you're there. Where am I?
You're in the environment. Well, let's say you're in the jungle. Maybe you're like hiding in the bushes and looking through the bushes.
Am I playing one of the characters?
No, you're not playing. No, you're not playing one of the characters. You're pretty much.
So basically, you're on the camera. I'm
exactly. Right? Yeah, pretty much.
But if I'm the camera, I don't know if you know what's the difference between me being the camera and me being just watching a regular TV on my. You know, 60 inch screen.
Because you're pretty much in the 4D world. You know what I mean? You see everything happening as if you're actually there. Pretty much like you described the NBA game. You know what I mean? So everything around you is moving, and you know you actually see it. So it's pretty much the same thing as what you said. You know, it's kind of hard to envision it, but
yeah. You know, I'm not exactly sure about that, because I feel like you're not going to you're still going to want to see the most important things that are happening. Imagine if you turn away and you miss the time when he shoots that guy.
Yeah, well, like, turn away when that happens. Well,
but you don't know. That's the thing. You're saying you're in an environment where they're in, and well, the good thing about watching it on TV, like a regular video, is that they would change the camera angle right then and there to show you that that guy was shot. Whereas if you have a static point of view where you're turning your head, but I don't know, like he shot somebody, but I don't know who. I don't know if that necessarily works all that well.
You can play out different scenarios in the sense like, okay, you can look at it from one angle, from another angle. You know what I mean?
But then you're talking about more video game like, not really movies, because most people don't want to watch movies over and over again to see different kind of things play out. I mean,
some people may.
Right, you're talking about the movie that you love, the great movie exactly. That you want to see over and over. Okay, but what if it's not? What if it's the movie you just want to see once and that's it? Like, hey, I saw it, I thought it was decent, I don't want to watch it again. But basically what you're saying is I'm have to rewatch it over and over again to find out what actually happened, because I might have missed certain parts.
Obviously, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to watch it that way. It's really up to you. If it's a blockbuster, you know, big budget, special effects, you probably want to see, you know, different angles that, you know, the action scenes occur. So in that manner, or even in a scary movie to look at it from a different perspective.
Scary movies absolutely work with us. Scary movies, the environment of being scared, the fact that you can't turn away from it, I think those things for video games and for movies, I think are going to work. For action movies, I still want to see if they're going to do that. I want to see how they're going to do it and how they're going to make it better than if I was to watch on a regular TV, or better than even just the regular old style, quote unquote, 3D movies. So I just, that one I'm not really sold on. But I really wish sooner than later they do actually do the live sports. That I think is something that would do really, really well for them.
But I'll give you one that you would definitely not say no to.
Okay.
And that is pornography. Can you imagine looking from the different perspectives and angles and different shots?
That I already heard of. They're already working on. And I like porn. The positive thing, if you want a technology to work, if porn is there, it most likely will work. That's a fact. But the thing is, I'm still curious if it's something that's going to, meaning if they don't go the sports way and they go, let's say, movies and video games, I'm curious if it will become a fad type thing where 3D became this new thing, everybody got to have it and everything. I'm just hoping that with VR headsets, because it is a gateway to get into real virtual reality. Well, that's weird to say, real gateway. Virtual reality.
Gateway drug?
No, well, sort of, in a sense that if this does really well, meaning if there's a lot of money in this, they're going to push this technology further, meaning they're going to make it so that, you know, sooner or later you're going to be able to feel things. Sooner or later you're going to be able to do things in it which are going to feel like they're real. And that's the way that I think most people will be like, oh, that is...
That's what I want. I want to feel things. I want to be able to experience things.
The porn thing, aren't you?
Well, with porn and, you know, other things, you know what I mean? Like touch animals that maybe I won't be able to touch in real life. You know what I mean? Gross for some, but happy for other people. You know what I mean? It's just something that would be very, very exciting.
No, real virtual... I keep on saying real virtual reality. But if they're actually able
to... Pretty much
to,
what you're saying is as if you're in The Matrix, the movie. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Where basically, if we're able to control that to a point where you're in an environment that you can do anything in, whether you want to be Superman or you want to be the president or you want to do anything, that's an environment that I think would be awesome. And as long as this VR headsets, as long as they start doing really well and making a lot of money, that's the direction we're going to go. If they go bust with all of these companies trying to do this, if they go bust, that means we're that much further away. That means in the next maybe 20, 30 years, somebody else will pick it up and do something else, so something new with it, and only then will they get back to it. But if this takes off, we might, you know, start seeing virtual reality aspects maybe in the next 10, 20, 30 years. We would actually might see something more realistic to that effect.
I don't know. I think we'll see something a little sooner than that, but that's just my opinion. I think they already have the technology, but they haven't worked out all the details yet. That's just...
From somebody who follows this kind of stuff, I've never seen anything like that of what you're thinking exists. But that's basically where we're at this point. Okay, so next thing is our last topic of the day is, well, are, I should say, debates. All the debates basically that happened with CNBC, CNN, Fox News, the Republican and the Democrat debates. So let me ask you, what do you think? Do you think that with all the debates going on, and right now the big thing is the Republicans, most of the Republicans are complaining about the debates. For example, you know, let's see. They first said Fox was rude. The tone of the questions were very, very rude. Then it was CNN, and they complained that it was too hot and it was too long. Then it was CNBC, and they said they asked too many tough questions. What do you think of that? Do you think that they have a point, or do you think they're acting like children?
Well, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. You know, tough questions. I mean, you're a politician running for the highest job in the United States of America, and you're being asked tough questions. Well, that's what they're supposed to do, is ask you tough questions, and you're supposed to respond to them. Meaning that you should have done your homework. If you did not do your homework, of course you're going to complain. You have nothing else to do but to complain, because you don't have the information to respond to it. So, you know, you're going to say that it's unfair, that you're being treated, you know, in a different way, and, you know, this shouldn't be the case, you know, it should be much easier, ask us straightforward questions. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know. you're running for the presidency, you should know a variety of different subjects. So
yeah.
That's just my opinion.
No, that's true. I completely agree with that. But the thing is, I sort of feel for all of these places, like whether it's Fox News, CNN, CNBC, usually I don't agree with too many things, but at the same time, they sort of have to ask these questions that are pointed, because if they don't, all these politicians, they're really, really good at one thing, and that's deflecting. They'll, for example, you ask them, so what is your policy on global warming? And instead of, you know, taking a stance on it, most politicians will go, well, you know, like global warming, it's something that we definitely should take a look into. It's something, and the Americans know what they need to know. And America is a really great country, and we have really hardworking people. And I know that we're going to be able to solve any problems that we have. And you're basically sitting there and going, well, you didn't kind of went into your own thing. You didn't really answer a question. And then when you ask a question where it's like, well, now if I ask you a pointed question, I don't want you to go off topic. I want you to actually answer this specific question. That's when they're like, well, that's not fair. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't, you know, it's like you're being very rude about this. Let me answer the way I want to answer. Let me answer, you know, in this particular way so that I won't get too many people upset with me, that I won't get people who are annoyed by me or anything like that. I don't want to slip in the polls. I just want to make sure that I say the right thing when I want to say it. And it's those debates become pointless. I mean, there's really no reason to have them, because the only thing it is, it's just a platform for them to give speeches. And really, like, most people don't want to have that. They actually want them to have real debates where they're actually talking about issues and explaining their points and why they think their view on X is right, and while they think the view on Y is wrong. And majority of the time, you don't see them. Majority of the time now, you see them making fun of each other. I mean, it seems like Trump started it, but it seems like everybody else picked it up. And you rarely hear them actually talk about policy, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans. You usually hear about how they're great and how they're going to make the country, you know, perfect. And they're the only ones that can do it. And the other guys just don't know what to do. So,
yeah, it's really becoming ridiculous, this presidential election that's going to be coming up. You know, you just have a bunch of children.
We're a
on
year
stage.
Away, by the way, from it. So,
well, a year away from it. And
we already had three debates.
Okay, we have three debates, but no resolution. No one really talking about, you know, their policies, what they're going to do to improve the economy, and policies overseas and anything like that. It's just, you know, a bunch of bullshit that's being discussed. You know what I mean? It's self egos. Yeah, self egos, and you know, being hurt about what someone actually says about you instead of actually talking about political points. So, you know, it's a childish campaign for all of them. I think it's ridiculous. They're crying about this, they're crying about that. This isn't fair, that isn't fair. You know, the Republicans have like 200 people running for the candidacy, and the Democrats have really two people that are legitimate, and one we know that is going to win 100%. So there's no point of having Bernie Sanders even trying, you know. And for the people that think that he has a chance, well, just get a clue. You know what I mean? It's really, I mean, when the world looks at us and sees what's going on in our political debate, I'm just curious if they think that, you know, this is a jungle. You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of bullshit.
Do you think that, well, for example, right now they basically boycotted CNNBC's next debate, so they're not going to do that. And they're basically saying how they want the next debates to go. And it's basically like, you know, they're giving terms as to how they want to be asked, what kind of environment has to be in, and things like that. Do you think that they should have the power to do that?
No way. I mean, this should not be scripted. This is not reality TV. This is not scripted TV. These are candidates that are running for the presidency of the United States, not fucking Jamaica or Somalia or whatever fucking country that, you know, that is, you know, in disorderly fashion. You know, we are supposed to be a democracy, in which we are, but we should be in a participatory democracy, not a democracy where a few rule the masses. And, you know, we're seeing that this really coming out, where pretty much the candidates are dictating terms. Well, you shouldn't get to dictate terms because you have millions upon millions of dollars in your pockets. You know what I mean? Think about this.
Well, it's not that, though. But hold on a second.
I think it has something to do with that.
No. They're not actually doing that. It's because, basically, it's giving these news stations a lot of views. And basically, they're saying, hey, if you want these views, then you have to do what we say. So that's basically where they're at. So what do you think? What do you think the news station should actually do?
I don't think there should be one news station that's covering. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, they don't have one news station covering.
Well, what I mean is at one particular time, you know, you have CNBC, you have MSNBC, you know, you have all these big stations and companies that are run by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 corporations that own, you know, most of media in the first place. Why not allow people from the alternative media, maybe allow, you know, influential people that are not necessarily in the media come in and ask questions, and you have to answer those questions. If you do not answer those questions, you are going to be barred from running for the presidency. You have to answer those questions. It's ridiculous.
That sounds like a perfect world scenario where you get politicians to actually answer questions that you ask them. But I'm saying that has never happened. Since we've had politicians have learned how, and through many years of practice, have learned how to not answer questions, or how to answer questions in their own way, where at the end of it, you ask them about, you know, global warming or whatever, and they're, you know, by the end of it, they're talking about, you know, their candidacy and how they're going to be the greatest leader. That has always been the case. It's just like they know how to do that, and unless there's actual law that is passed, which they would have to pass it themselves, there's no way to change that specifically.
I agree with
But right now, specifically in regards to the debates, though, should CNN, should Fox News, should all of these stations, should they themselves, you know, basically go on the offensive and go like, hey, we're going to work together, and if you really don't want, you know, to have your debates, or you want them in a specific way and all that kind of stuff, we're not going to basically televise you. Go find another channel, and go find a third party channel that will, you know, maybe give you a few hundred views, whereas we're not going to do that. Or do you think that they should kind of crumble under the pressure and just go, you know what, we really want those views, so we'll do what they say?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I like neither. I don't like politicians, and I don't like these mainstream news stations. So just to get that out of the way. But irregardless of that, no one should dictate to you what you should do in the first place. And especially in a presidency run. In 2016, we're in 2016, a 21st century, and you know, politicians are dictating to news stations what questions they should be asked. Shouldn't that be under the table usually? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they're bringing that out to the forefront. And, you know, I know it's been going on under the table, but, you know, to actually finally come out and say, you know what? This is how we want for it to be, and you have to abide by it. And if you don't, then well, oh well. You know what I mean? It's such corruption. The corruption's everywhere.
I personally think that if it wasn't for Trump, because Trump has such weight. I mean, the reason why they're getting so many views is because of Trump. Because I do remember the previous time when Republicans were running, the numbers weren't even close to this. No one really cared about them. In terms of watching the debates. Now that you have Trump, who brings so many viewerships, he's able to dictate and he's able to control it. And if he wasn't around, I'm not saying that he needs to go away because of this or anything, but if he wasn't around, I honestly don't think that the Republicans could have said in any way, oh, well, if you don't change up, we're not going to be here, because I just don't see that happening. I really don't. I don't see them having the clout. They're like, oh, that's fine. If you don't want us to cover it, that's fine. We're not going to get, you know, the few millions. We'll post something else during that time.
Honestly, I can't wait until Trump drops out. And I know that he will drop out at a point. But, you know, I don't know.
You see, he said that with such a factual.
He is. Like, he's going to drop out. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be. A half a year from now, or, you know, 8 months from now, or whatever. He's definitely going to drop out. He's just making big noise. He's a big gorilla with nothing much to say except for something that he supposedly believes, but, you know, we never know if he's doing it genuinely or if he's doing it for publicity. In my opinion, he's probably doing it for publicity, and it's just a big stunt. It's a big stunt to pretty much distract people from what's really going on. And, you know, it's becoming this bullshit, you know, crying here, crying there. And I mean, wow, what country do we live in where the politicians are kids? They're literally kids.
I think at first when Trump entered, I think he was a joke, but I just don't think, I don't think he could possibly, like, know 100% he's going to exit a certain point, because I mean, he's still, you know, leading. I know Carson in a few areas they showed, like, oh, he might be leading here, but overall it's still Trump. And I just don't see him exiting anytime soon, if he even will at all. So I mean, that point that you were, like, so adamant about, I don't know
he's the loudest gorilla in the jungle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he pounds the hardest on the drum. Right, but sometimes, you know? Right, so, but sometimes those gorillas are,
yeah,
king.
But he's bullshitting. He's a bullshitter.
You're just becoming louder for no reason.
I mean, he doesn't like Mexicans. Are you telling me he doesn't have Mexicans working for him?
Probably does.
Oh, fuck yeah, he does. He's a big hypocrite.
I completely, I understand what you're saying in terms of, like, you don't like him. But that has nothing to do with him dropping out. That you're kind of combining the two. You're like, he's a gorilla, he's this. That's fine, you don't like him, but it has nothing to do
He's riding the wave. That's all he's doing.
It's just a big wave, and it could take him all the way to shore.
Absolutely. But does he have a chance to become the president of the United States? No.
No, I can't see it. Right.
There you
go. But that's my opinion. I'm not saying that.
Well,
that's fact.
My opinion. That's my opinion too.
Okay. Well, I'm saying it sounded like you were like saying for a fact that he's not going to make it all the way. And
that's my fact. Let's just put it that way. Well, that's what I feel. That's what I feel.
Again, it's your opinion. I get
it. It's just, you know, he's making money. When people think that he's not making money, he's using money, you know, and he's running for the president of the United States, so he's only losing money and bullshit this, bullshit that, blah 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 blah. No, he's making a lot of money. Come on.
How do you think he's making money right now?
Well, he's everywhere.
Okay, but how do you think he's on every show?
People are paying him. His brand is going up.
No,
oh, yes.
They're not paying him for
it. Oh, I'm sure
no,
they are.
Not
oh,
for
yeah.
That. No, they're not.
I'm sure they are paying him. But anyway, it's not only that. You know, his brand.
Absolutely. His brand is huge. And the thing is, he definitely, like whether he wins or he loses, he could definitely make a ton of money afterwards with doing anything. He could go have a speech somewhere, get made a make $1 million. He could write a book.
Well, he's making speeches right now, so he's potentially making money.
I'm talking. No, I'm talking about where they actually pay you. I'm not talking about donations to his campaign or anything. I'm talking about actual. You know, hey, this is a gig. We're gonna pay you this. Go and talk to these people. And I think he's gonna make a ridiculous amount of money. But I he's not making money right now of going on The View talking to them. They're not paying him for that.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Like that's not a factual thing to say.
Well, okay. Well, listen. The point here is that he's really building up his brand.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he doesn't like Mexicans and immigrants and, you know, he doesn't like abortion and all this bullshit. You know, once he falls out of the race, you'll see in 2 months people will forget about that. And, you know, things will go back to usual. He'll start making more and more money. You know, it's a huge, long publicity stunt. He knows that he's not a legitimate candidate. He really doesn't have any policy. You know what I mean? So it's just a bunch of bullshit.
I think when he first came on scene, I do think it was a publicity stunt. I didn't think he thought that he could actually do it, but it's too hard not to take him at all seriously and go like, he's a buffoon. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, but as much as I do want to say that, and as much as I would have said that before he joined, I'm having a harder time every single day putting him into that category because of how well he's still doing. So I guess we're going to have our different points of views, and I guess we'll see in, 6 months where you said that he's going to drop out?
Well, I said six to eight months, but...
6 to 8 months. So
he'll definitely drop out.
So we'll see then. So again, guys, thank you for joining us on our third podcast. And again, we're sponsored by quickieprint.com, where you can get all your printing needs met. Thank you so much for joining us.